It's 6 minutes after 10 o'clock. Welcome back to Morning Blend. I'm your host, Dori Nutt. This hour, we're talking opera, and specifically opera by Puccini. We have some members of Ars Nova here, Mariah Beachboard, Hank Lay, and Rebecca Rogers, and they'll be answering all of our opera questions. But let's kick off the interview with a short non-operatic piece by Giacomo Puccini, his Minuetto in A Major for String Quartet. The Orchestra of Del Verne performs, conducted by Jean-Jacques Cantereau.
Thank you.
Puccini's Menuetto for String Quartet. You gotta love Puccini, and the folks in the studio with me today must. They're doing two of his operas this weekend. So welcome to the studio, members of Ars Nova. We have Hank Lay and Rebecca Rogers. Welcome, you guys.
Hi, Dory. Hi. Thank you for having us.
Well, I'm so glad you're here today because you are here to answer all of our questions about opera. I want to know why in operas nobody can ever recognize their sister if she's wearing a hat. I mean, what about the disguises? So many of the stories involve mistaken identity.
Well, one of the conventions of opera is that there are things going on stage that are very clear to the audience but not to the other cast members. And
okay.
That has happened from the very beginning.
Okay. So that's a good answer to that question. Are there any mistaken identities in the operas coming up this weekend?
Deliberate ones, yes.
Okay. That's always a good thing, the deliberate mistaken identities. So, you know, I've always had an impression, or not always, but when I was growing up, I had an impression of opera as being the large woman on the stage with a Viking helmet shrieking about Valkyries or Bugs Bunny killed a wabbit, and I did not know anything else about opera. Is it all like that?
No.
No.
No, not at all. Opera evolved from mainly three sources. There were what people thought was the convention in ancient Greece, the ancient Greek theater. Very little of that survives. But then there were morality plays that first took place on the church steps because the people were illiterate.
Oh.
And for a long time in the Dark Ages, you couldn't put on any kind of plays, musical or otherwise, under pain of death.
Oh, but, that but word got me.
After the Dark Ages, slowly things evolved, and there were troops of people that went around with horse and carriage, and they would pull a wagon that became a stage. People would gather around, they'd pass the hat, and they'd put on performances. And opera evolved from all of that. In Florence, there was a group who took it upon themselves to make rules for... No, we're talking Western opera. Every culture has something like opera.
Right.
But Western opera was formed by this group, and it was sort of by rule after that for many, many years.
So originally opera was something very much of the common people, just out on the square listening, and it was not what a lot of people think of today as the hoity-toity, got to be dressed up wearing jewels and furs.
No,
and
those were... That concept came from productions that were put on just for nobility in their homes, in their palaces.
Okay.
And that was one of the things that merged into what became Western opera.
Wow. So. Well, what a history of opera there. There's a lot of things there that I did not know.
But in Paris, there was, by law, there was a convention of opera belonging to one of two opera companies. There was Opera Paris, which put on serious operas, opera seria.
Uh-huh.
And then there was Opera Comique. And anything that wasn't opera seria was put on by the Opera Comique company in France.
So you
and
could choose.
Yeah.
Just like today, when you turn on Netflix, you can look at movies that are in the comedy or the drama section.
Exactly.
You can choose according. So I'll bet, I'd like to ask, are all operas sad? They're not. You
no.
just answered
no.
that question.
No.
But this weekend, you're going to be doing an opera by Puccini called Johnny Skeeky. And I want to play just a touch of the beginning of this. We're going to hear like just a minute from the overture, and I'll ask you about that.
Thank you.
Okay, so we heard just the opening, and there was that bubbly, fantastic Puccini, and it sounded very happy and busy, and then it kind of drew down, and I could hear people crying. You said that Johnny Skeeky was not a sad opera, but what has happened here at the beginning?
Well, it starts with the death of a very rich old man and his family mourning his death.
Oh. Okay.
But what they're really mourning is they're wondering what's happened to their legacy.
I see. They're fighting over his will, I'll bet.
Yep.
Yeah. So I assume that even though the beginning of this is kind of sad, that it picks up somewhere in between.
Well, it gets hilarious. We've had our director rolling on the floor laughing. So.
Well, this I've seen this opera. I have to say, I act like I don't know what's going on, but it's one of my favorites because, well, for one thing, I don't have a real long attention span. This is a one-act opera. What is it, about 45 minutes, 50 minutes?
50, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the whole story is told in one little set here.
That's correct.
From start to finish, beautiful costumes, beautiful sets, and of course this marvelous music by Puccini that I just can't ever get enough of. So tell us about the role that you're singing, Rebecca.
Well, I'm actually singing the princess in the other show.
Oh, okay.
In Suor Angelica, that I assume we'll be talking about later.
I will give you a chance to talk about that in a minute then.
So, yes, I'm playing the villain in that show.
Okay. Well, Hank, are you in a role in Johnny Skeeky?
I am Johnny Skeeky.
You are Johnny Skeeky. Okay,
yes.
kind of a conniving. Well, I shouldn't say conniving, but very intelligent, always thinking ahead.
He's a trickster. He's the go-to guy in the town of Florence, Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And this family goes to him to solve their big problem because it looks like the will has left everything to the friars in the local priory.
Oh, and nobody's getting what they think they ought to.
Yes, so okay. He gives them what they deserve.
This is a very timely story. I mean, I think I saw a movie about this just the other night. Not Johnny Skeeky, but the same kind of plot where the relatives are fighting over what's left in the will. So it's something we can all relate to. Well, I can't relate to that, but just hearing stories about it. Well, let's take a moment and hear one of the most famous arias from this opera, and we have Kiri Takanawa here singing
O mio babbino caro.
I should let the opera singers introduce this, but we do have soprano Kiri Takanawa.
Mi piace bello.
And there we have the beautiful Kirita Kanawa, the soprano from New Zealand, singing O Mio Babbino Caro. And the director was just telling me that the young lady, Anna Lee, who's singing the part here in Ars Nova's production, is doing a beautiful job. And Hank, why don't you tell us what's going on during that beautiful aria?
Okay, what's going on is that the family has invited Johnny Skeeky into the home to help solve this problem, but he gets disgusted with them and decides not to help at all. And she is his daughter. She wants to marry a family member, and she's pleading with him to please help them so she can get married.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why this beautiful aria is in the middle of all of this sadness and conniving and the chaos that follows. What, I mean, you mentioned something about everything that just kind of goes crazy at the end of the opera. You want to talk about that some?
Well, I'll talk about it some. I don't want to give away
no,
the ending.
The ending is fantastic.
But she convinces him to help them. And he decides, well, he reads the will and says there's nothing they can do. And then he thinks a while, and he comes up with a scheme. And it's the working of that scheme in which he, you know, essentially rewrites the will with the help of some crazy characters. And things go insane when, well, you'll see what he ends up doing.
Okay. Well, I hope everybody will come down and see that. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Morning Blend on 89.3 Huntsville, and we're talking with cast members of Ars Nova who will be presenting two operas this weekend, two one-act operas at the VBC. And we'll give all the details at the end of the interview. And in addition, the information about all of this is on the community calendar tab of our webpage, wlrh.org, so you can check it out there. So we're going to listen to one last, I guess maybe the ending of Johnny Skeeky, and since it's in Italian, I assume most of you will not be able to tell what is happening. And besides, there is a lot of commotion. As a musician, I don't think I've ever played anything as hard as opera. It goes by so fast. I can't imagine being a singer on the stage with everyone singing, everyone acting, props moving, conductors conducting. It is just all you can do to keep your head together during times like this. So we're going to listen to just a little of the ending of Johnny Skeeky by Puccini.
Thank you.
we were listening to a little bit of the towards the end there of Johnny Skeeky and all the chaos that ensues, and Hank Lay has moved away from the microphone now to let somebody else scoot up. But he said that one of the conventions of opera is that when you have all of these people singing at once, you're not really expected to be able to hear what each person is saying. It's an ensemble piece, and this is sung in English, and you will be able to follow the story. Even if you hear this in Italian, you think, I don't even know what's happening there. You will be able to follow the story, no problem. So that's, I guess, you'll be finishing with Johnny Skeeky, but you'll be starting the first opera, one-act opera of the night, will be Suor Angelica. And now we have Rebecca Rogers, who is singing in that opera. Tell us a little about it, Rebecca.
So this is an opera. It is a very stylistically different opera than Skeeky. Skeeky was this madcap chaos, funny. This one has moments of humor, but it's a much darker show. It's much more, it's a tragedy.
It's sad.
It's beautiful. It has some of the most gorgeous music I have heard.
But it is the saddest of the sad.
It is. It is set in a convent, so the vast majority of our cast in this show are nuns.
Okay.
So I am the only not nun in this show. I play the role of the princess. This show is set, it's just a everyday, any day in the convent. So you start with the basic life of the nuns, and you see them praying, you see them gossiping, you see them doing what they would normally do in any day.
Okay.
Until there's a guest that appears to come to visit one of the nuns, and that would be me.
Okay.
So I am the aunt, the matriarch of the family, of Suor Angelica, the title character.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the first time I've been to visit her in 7 years since she joined the convent. And that usually doesn't end well.
No, a little too long has passed to have a nice visit there, I think, probably.
Indeed.
So, well, let's listen to an aria from Suor Angelica. We're going to hear Licia Albanese singing Senza Mamma, which is, if you know any Italian at all, you don't need to know mamma, you know what that is, but senza, if you know any Italian at all, means without a mother. So
yep.
Is that right? So here we go. Let's listen to Senza Mamma from Suor Angelica by Puccini.
Scolori rom fredde. potrò morire.
And that was the aria Senza Mamma, sung here by Licia Albanese. This is from the opera Suor Angelica, which actually means Sister Angelica. Rebecca mentioned it takes place in a convent. And this role here of Sister Angelica is being played in Huntsville by the fabulous Christy Weber. And everyone was saying in the studio while we were listening to this recording that this was beautiful, but Christy does it so much better.
She does. She that absolutely does. She gives me chills every time she does it. She's fabulous.
Yeah.
She never disappoints whenever I see her or hear her sing. So we'll turn now to you, Mariah Beachboard, director of these two one-act operas by Puccini. Tell us why, if somebody has never been to an opera before, why might they want to come this weekend?
I think as one act, they're very accessible. The stories are intensely compelling, as good as any Netflix movie you might see.
I think you're right, yeah.
And as a confession, this is my first opera I've ever directed. So I was instantly hooked as soon as I heard the music, as soon as I read the story, and I think audiences will be too.
Okay. When do you remember when you first were introduced to opera, how you first, what you heard first? Or
I think the first time I heard any opera, I was a child and I thought, why? Why would people sing that way? But as I've come to understand the art form, it makes total sense. It's amazing. And as compared to musical theater, opera allows those emotions that you feel, those moments to hang in the air a little bit longer and allows the audience to feel it a little more intensely, which I think is very magical.
Oh, well, everyone I've seen has been like that for me. I remember the first opera I saw in person was Tosca, and I fell in love with it that night, and I haven't turned back since. Of course, another opera by Puccini, and I just love this music, so I know I'm going to enjoy this weekend. Well, what do people need to know about coming to the opera this weekend? Will they need to study up on their Italian before they come?
Oh, no. we will have super titles for Suor Angelica, which will be in Italian. And then Johnny Schicchi is in English. So if they want to read up on the story, they can. They don't have to. Hopefully I've done my job and they'll be able to understand all of the action that happens on stage. It is at the Playhouse. So I think everyone in Huntsville is aware of the construction at the Von Braun Center right now.
I just noticed it yesterday. Where should people try to park for this? And how do they get in?
I suggest parking in the parking garage and going in through the concert hall.
Okay.
The normal entrance for the Playhouse is closed. There's a big fence around it, so you can't go in that way. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So it's still accessible. Just park across Church Street in the parking deck.
And when you go in the entrance for the concert hall, follow the hall to your right all the way around.
And I guess if you had somebody that couldn't walk far, you could just drop them right there at the doors of the concert hall on the front of the VBC, and it's not too much of a walk from there.
Yeah, it's accessible.
Okay. Well, let's see. Give us the dates and time so we'll know when we can come.
Okay. It's Friday and Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2:30. And tickets can be purchased on ticketbiscuit.com.
Okay. And in addition, all the information about this, people can find it on your website,
yes.
I'll bet, which is?
Ars Nova.
ArsNovaHSV.com.
Thank you, Rebecca.
There you go, ArsNovaHSV.com. And like I say, if you just need the details of the event, you can go to WLRH.org and click on the community calendar and see us on this date. You can click and find out everything you need to know, and hope that everyone will come out this weekend and enjoy some opera, whether it's your 50th opera, I know that we have a large opera-loving community here, or whether you just want to dip your toes into the water of opera. This would be a great time to start. So I'd like to thank my guests today, Mariah Beachboard, Hank Lay, and Rebecca Rogers, all from Ars Nova. And we're going to close out this interview with some more music of, guess who, Puccini. This is from a CD called Opera Without Words, and I believe, I've forgotten to write down what this is, but I believe this is Musetta's Waltz from La Boheme.